From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today as we close out another week of broadcasting here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Alan Cairns with you once again, and I trust that you'll stay with us through the rest of this segment as once more we turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Our subject of study throughout this week has been from the dominion of darkness to the liberty of the Lordship of Christ. A glorious text, a glorious theme, and I trust that it has been, and today again will be, a blessing to your heart. But before we get to the message today, we have our daily devotional Bible study and our thought for the day. The devotional is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, on the subject of God's great power. Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that ye may know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. God displays his omnipotence in both the work of creation and the work of redemption. In Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, the apostle records three ways God's power is seen in redemption. He speaks of that mighty power that God used in the resurrection of Christ. Man could only stand impotently at the grave of Christ and weep. Yet God, with his mighty power, laid hold of the dead body of Christ and raised it to life. God also demonstrates his power when he regenerates the heart. We were dead in sin, but God quickened us together with Christ. Therefore, Paul attributes our believing to the working of his mighty power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead also gave life to us. With the hymn writer, we confess, to chase the shades of death away and bid the sinner live, a beam of heaven, a vital ray, 'tis thine alone to give. Then, in the text, Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, we read about God using his power to revive the saint. The deadness of our hearts, or of the hearts of those around us, is no match for the exceeding greatness of his power. Whether it is the overcoming of sin or the converting of the sinner, Paul wants us to know that divine omnipotence is available to the believer who will by faith lay hold of God for it. Let us then take God at his word. How can we live impotent lives when such power is freely offered to us? Why should we be timid or doubtful in our witness when we represent the Almighty? Let us today boldly storm the strongholds of sin, expecting them to yield to the exceeding greatness of his power. And our thought for the day is from William Gurnall. One Almighty is more than all mighties.
I see them with the
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, I have mentioned a useful little tool that we have produced to help Christians with their Bible study. Now, any pastor will tell you that one of the most frequently made requests that he receives from people is for help in studying the Bible. Another very frequent request is for help in establishing a real prayer life. In fact, most Christians will confess that for them, these are the two most important and yet most difficult aspects of the Christian life. Bible study and prayer must always go together. Solid Bible study will be an immeasurable help to your prayer life. With that in mind, we have produced a pamphlet titled The Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Now, they're not really commandments, more guidelines to tell you how to read and get the most out of the Bible, chapter by chapter. When you follow these guidelines, you will have a body of material from each chapter that will form the basis for your approach to God. Let me give you an example. The very first thing to look for in every chapter you read in the Bible is, what does it teach me about God? Look carefully and write down the results. Then as you come to pray, you approach God. You worship and praise Him, not in mere trite or empty phrases, but as you have just found Him in His Word. In this way, your praying is linked to your Bible study, and it's always fresh. The same holds good throughout all 10 guidelines. So I highly recommend that you write or call us and ask for your free copy of the 10 Commandments of Bible Study. It's yours for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres, that is FREEPRES, ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you the Ten Commandments of Bible Study. And I trust that you will find it an answer to prayer and the best means that you have yet discovered to help you in the study of the Word and in the private place of prayer.
Thank you.
final message this week from Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, on the glorious deliverance that the Father has given to his people from the dark dominion of the devil into the glorious liberty of Christ's lordship, emphasizes once more that this is not only a divine work and a delivering work, but a distinguishing work. The Apostle Paul says he delivered us. So we're going again to emphasize that the reference is not to humankind as a whole, but to the saints of God, the faithful brethren who are in Christ Jesus. So let's look at God's word. Colossians 1:13, delivered from the dominion of darkness to the liberty of Christ's lordship.
But let me emphasize that it is a distinguishing work. He hath delivered us. Now the reference is not to humankind as a whole. That would be untrue. It's a reference to, verse 1, the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. It's a reference, verse 5, to those who through hearing the word of the truth of the gospel have, to use the words of verse 2, exercised faith in Christ Jesus. It's a reference to the people mentioned in verse 12, whom the Father hath qualified or made fit or sufficient for an inheritance of the saints in light. So this is a peculiar people. It's a specific body of people that he refers to. Now, it would be sound theology to say that this is a reference to the distinguishing grace of God in election. It would be sound theology to say that when God delivers us, the us speaks of the distinguishing grace of election. But in Colossians 1, it would be very poor exegesis. For Paul is not here talking about the distinguishing grace of election. He does that plentifully in other places. What he's talking about here is the distinguishing grace poured out exclusively on the believer. In other words, this is a text that is denoting and describing the reality and the power of true conversion by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's talking about. And this is the testimony, therefore, of all whose faith is in him. And I want to emphasize that because there are a couple of things that need to be said. Number one, there is a class of people who view everything through the prism of God's electing grace. They see nothing in Scripture but election, and they think that they understand it. Poor idiots, for they don't. There's a class of people, therefore, when they see a statement like this, and they say, ah, that's election. And out of that comes a second problem. And by the way, that's a problem because if you want to see just how much of a problem, let me ask you to go to Brad Carper one day and tell him to get his camera out. And tell him, now, I have a nose. I want you to take a picture of me quite normally, my whole face, or my whole body even, and my nose in proportion. And he can do that. In fact, if your nose is out of proportion, you can go into Photoshop and change it and put it back into proportion, make you far better looking than you really are. But he can do that. But then ask him to start monkeying around with the different lenses that, as a photographer, he has. And let him make the nose the absolutely dominating feature, the only visible feature of your whole physiognomy. You know something? You will not have a picture. You'll not have a representation that's in any way faithful. You have a caricature. That's what happens when somebody takes part of the revelation of God and makes it so dominant that they ignore other important parts of the same revelation. So that's a problem. Out of that, there comes a second problem, and it is the downplaying of a very important biblical fact. And it's this: God never, listen to me very carefully, God never directs our actions or tells us to direct our actions by understanding the secret counsel of His eternal decree. Never. What He does tell us is that we have a responsibility as His creatures to respond to His revealed word, law, command, invitation, and gospel. He tells us, keep the commandments. Can you do it? If you're depending on keeping the commandments to go to heaven, you'll go to hell. But you have a responsibility to do it. And if you don't do it, you're guilty. By the same token, he tells us, believe the gospel. In fact, that's the first recorded sermon of our Savior in the Gospel of Mark. Repent and believe the gospel. That was his indiscriminate command to all who heard him. And it is a problem when people downplay the fact that when you hear the gospel, it's not your responsibility to understand the eternal decree of God. It is your responsibility to bow before God and believe His word and act upon it. And if you do so, you'll be received and you'll be saved. And when you do so, you'll come back to Him and you'll say, Lord, this is all of your grace left to me. I'd still be dead in unbelief and in rebellion. No, it's all of grace, but grace produces response. And it is your duty to believe God. This is a statement of the power and reality of conversion in the lives of those who exercise their faith, as Paul calls it, your faith in Christ Jesus. Do you know all who exercise faith? They can say, yep, He has delivered me. The rest remain on the dark, under the dark dominion of the devil, with neither the will nor the power to liberate themselves. Now this raises for you and me a question today. Very simple but very far-reaching question. There are really only two kingdoms. One is called the power of darkness. The word power has the idea not only of strength, but has the idea of right. It's not saying the devil has a right to souls, but it is saying that sinners are lying in the place where the devil rules. He's saying that sinners lie in the realm of darkness. Okay? That's one. Then there's the kingdom of the Son of God's love. You're in one or in the other. First of all, we've got to find out, every one of us, where am I? Where am I? Don't fudge that issue. Don't hide behind religious profession. Don't hide behind a church membership or a baptismal certificate. Where am I? If you're still in the kingdom of darkness, let me tell you, He is able to deliver. And He delivers those who place their faith in His dear Son. There's the genuine power of conversion through faith in Christ. The question then is your faith in Christ? Or is it not? If it's not, and while it's not, you must perish. But by faith in Him, you'll have the reality of God the Father delivering you from the darkness of the devil's bondage into the joyful light and liberty of having Christ as your King. Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the mighty grace of God in Christ. We thank Thee for the divine work of salvation. We thank Thee for this great deliverance. We thank Thee, our God, for the mighty grace that distinguishes believers, that God gives to a believing people, a genuine life-changing grace. O God, our Father, we pray that Thou wilt reach the lost today and bring them, by the quickening of Thy Spirit, to repentance and faith. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless Thy people. Enable us, Lord, to live joyfully under the Lordship of our Savior and fully to follow the Son of Thy love. How we thank Thee for rescuing us, removing us out of the kingdom of darkness, and receiving us into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Lord, receive our thanks. Enable us indeed to walk worthy of such a Redeemer and such a Savior. Now, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt part us with Thy blessing. And as we leave the house of God, continue to work within our hearts that the word of the Lord may bear fruit in every soul and life. Be with us now and our abiding portion this day, and until the Savior either calls us home or comes again in all His glory, we pray, giving Thee our thanks, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once,
But you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.